Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2026. 13 and a half minutes past the hour, and the conversation this morning is an interesting one. A political blogger in Columbus with ties to Marion, DJ Burns, also known online as The Rooster, was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor charge of telecommunications harassment. Spent 23 hours in the Franklin County Jail, and this was all for, let me find it, allegedly sent an explicit photo and two harassing text messages to a person with the initials JC. NBC4 is alleging that it was sent to Senator Jerry Serino, and that the photo was of Shrek's male parts. A spokesperson for the Ohio Senate Republican said due to the ongoing investigation, there would be no comment. Okay, a couple things I want to say about this whole thing, because I had 12 minutes to think about it there. Okay, here are the differences between what somebody on Channel 4 would do as opposed to what is being done here. Okay, here are the differences. Number one, if you're at a public event, and the official is there, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking them questions, whether or not they're going to answer them or not. That's fine. That's what Colleen Marshall did with Jim Jordan. They were at a public event. She yelled some questions at him. He didn't answer them. That's the way it went. What's being done in a situation like with this political blogger is they're finding these people coming out of the bathroom or walking through the halls. They're not holding a press conference. They're not there for an event. They're showing up to work. And you're ambushing them, and you're trying to get answers, and that is a little unnerving to people who are just showing up to work and doing their job. That's one difference. Another difference is, what is the severity of the story? Does anybody even know what story this I don't even remember his name here, this senator is involved with, Jerry Serino? Does anybody even know what story he's involved with? So again, are you trying to create a story by doing this? I don't know. I don't know what big story he's involved with at this particular point. But you got to have a new story every so often, because you got to get your likes and your views up. And what is the purpose of sending pictures of this? Clearly at that point, you're not trying to interview the person. You're not trying to get information. You're trying to create a spectacle so you can get more clicks and views and likes and so subscribers. You know, it's all about money in the end. You know, tabloids have always typically sold more than newspapers. So that's a little tabloidish. And I would also like to point out, one thing I have noticed about these political bloggers who do these ambush things, how many times do they do it with women? You know, because there are a lot of women who work in these areas. There are obviously women politicians down at the state house. How many times do they walk up and ambush a woman like that? Very, very few, if at all. Now, you know why they don't do that is because that would not be seen as a good thing. Or maybe just all the women have never done anything wrong. See, here are the problems with this whole thing. And I think that's just where we are at this particular point. In any event, 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there is anything on your mind in regard to this, because I think we're having a decent conversation about what passes for journalism and what does not pass for journalism. And are you trying to create a spectacle versus really just telling what happened? Because, as I have said, and said before we went to break there, if there's somebody who says no to an interview with me or just doesn't respond, I'll come back and tell you that, because obviously if they're not showing up, you know they're not doing the interview. They're saying no. And I just want to let you know that I have put the request in and there's no answer. But what good does it do to do that? You know, it's not going to get any clicks. I'm not going to single that bit of video out and put that all over the internet. I don't think that does anything. You know, there are more creative ways to do this. But again, if you stand outside of City Hall or the courthouse or anywhere else, and you just start throwing your microphone in people's faces, well, that's going to be something people want to watch. Because for some reason, people like to see people uncomfortable. And that's probably a power dynamic, that you feel these people have a lot of power in the Senate, in the House, mayors, city council people, whatever. You feel they have a lot of power, and I think there's a power dynamic going on there. And you like to see them being made uncomfortable. But here we are. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right. Let's see here. Well, we're getting a message here. Let's see what the message says. Well, this is true, I think. The mayor isn't the only public official in Marion who won't appear on the show, or any media for that matter. That's probably true. We have several elected officials who manage to obtain or maintain their positions without addressing the media, thereby avoiding difficult questions and public scrutiny. Well, that's probably true. There are people who avoid the media and get by, probably because of the political party they're associated with. Now, will there be blowback to that as we go on down the line? I think there will be. I think there'll be some blowback on that when people don't answer questions. And all people eventually have to answer questions as the pressure gets more and more. I don't know. Some people are going to be friendlier to the media than others. I think the media helps you in a way. If you get out in front of a story and you tell it, I think that's better than not telling it, because that just leaves everybody up to speculate. And heaven knows we've speculated about a lot of stories on this station, and so have other media outlets. So there's that going on as well. I certainly think it does the person a whole lot better to come on and defend themselves. But we've had people call in and defend why people shouldn't come on. So, you know, it's just everybody's tact. But I can tell you that I'm not sure what good information you're obtaining by watching somebody run down the hall. Okay, they didn't answer a question. Okay. Well, did you expect them to? Did you put in an interview request? I don't know. I just don't know the effectiveness of all this. I think it's effective in getting you likes. I think it's effective in getting you paid. It's probably effective in that, because you can monetize these videos on the internet. It's probably effective in that way. But, again, this is where we are today. And I'm not criticizing the Rooster for what he does. If he has a following, good for him. But I also know that he ended up in jail for 23 hours and now has pending litigation. And is it good to send allegedly threatening messages to people Is it good to send what somebody said was an explicit photo? I mean, I don't think these are things that anybody who considers themselves a journalist would do. So here we are. I mean, what do you think's going to happen here? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have anything on your mind. Now, it is also interesting that on the national level, I don't know how many people are aware of this story, but apparently longtime 60 Minutes correspondent Scott Pelley criticized CBS, the network that airs 60 Minutes, for destroying or gutting 60 Minutes with the choices they're making at this particular point. Well, I think Scott Pelley has been fired now over at CBS after a heavy-duty meeting with some of the management at CBS. So, why is that happening? Is that trying to limit the media? Or is that a person dealing with the company that they work for having conflicts? Didn't Jim Acosta have a problem like this with the people over at CNN at the beginning of the year? Now, I think he eventually resigned from CNN. He was a White House correspondent, but was pressure put on CNN to let him go? I don't know. I could have been, I guess. In any event, the phone lines are open, and I do think it's an interesting conversation to have. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And should Scott Pelley have been let go? I guess if your bosses don't want you there anymore, you have to go, but you certainly don't want to see something you've worked on for a whole lot of time at CBS, 60 Minutes, a gold standard of broadcasting, be dragged through the mud. So here we are. This is journalism today, and this is where we are, and what are people willing to do to draw a crowd, I guess is the idea. What standard are you willing to go to? I also think this has something to do with younger people, because I think younger people want to see a car crash. And I have always said there is some entertainment value to that without question, but I don't think you should manufacture it. If I know two people hate each other, I don't think bringing them in, knowing that there could be a confrontation, is a good thing. Because what does that do? Well, the audience gets to hear two people scream at each other for an hour. Okay. You know, did we get anything out of that besides drama? I guess people like drama. They might like to listen to it. But I don't know that it does any good on the whole. Here we are, 26 minutes past the hour, and the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. It'd be interesting to hear people's opinion on this, because this is a hot-button issue going on in the world right now. The state of journalism. Or, if you'd like to talk about Donut Day, which is coming up on Friday, National Donut Day. We're certainly all about that here at this station. Let us know about that. Has anybody figured out what the name of those donuts are in the yellow bag, kind of the yellow-orange bag? You buy them in the grocery store. They're very good donuts. What is the name? What is the name of those donuts? I think they just say donuts on them, but I think they have a name. They're very good to dip in, like, tea, or if you like coffee. I'm not much of a coffee drinker. Or have with milk. They're also good with that. But they kind of have a cinnamony kind of a taste. They're brownish. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? 740-383-9944. I know people like the Long John donuts. Those are very, very sweet. especially if they're filled with a lot of icing, heavy-duty icing. Well, let's see. Okay, well, that's the journalism rundown today. National Donut Day, Friday. We spent a little time talking about decorum here at City Council, which at this point doesn't seem like it's going very, very far at this point. I'm not sure. It didn't get out of committee on Monday, which means it's going to have two more weeks sitting in committee. Where will this go? Hard to say at this particular point. And we did talk a little bit yesterday about the very sad death of Eva Moran, 19 years old, just 2 days, 19 years old, in a car accident last Friday, 5:30 p.m. on 309, out by the depot, I think. You know, I've talked to a few more people who knew her or knew of her, and everybody's got good things to say, and I think that's very nice. But as I said yesterday, I think it just all comes down to hold on a second here. Now we're getting some messages on my yellow bag. Now Matt is out there. He's saying donut fair glazed twirls, and Naomi sent me a picture here. I guess that's what they are. Nichols Donut Fair Glazed Twirls. So that's what they are. Glazed Twirls. Those are very good, by the way. Very, very good, those. Has anybody ever had the glazed twirls? I'm telling you, you get a thing of tea, or you get a thing of coffee, or you get some milk, and those glazed twirls are very, very good. And I don't think they're that expensive. I don't think inflation has hit the glazed twirls as of yet. Go ahead.
Okay, it's really a honey cruller is what that donut is.
It's very good.
For people that know them by their real names, or children often refer to them as tractor tires.
Oh, really? Tractor tires?
Yeah, I spent years, when I lived in Rhode Island, I worked at a donut and coffee shop, and they call them crullas. We call them crullers. Honey cruller, tractor tire. Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Why are they so good?
The Nichols mini version. I don't care for donuts, so I don't believe that.
Well,
they
but
are.
People love those.
Yes, my son loves himself a good honey cruller, but no, I don't care for donuts.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a fascinating thing to me. But so we were having the conversation before break, though. What do you make of the points that I made after the break there?
Do you see my scenario, though, like if there's a really heated city council meeting? And because, I mean, you know, when they used to talk to you after meetings, those were the best time to get the interviews because the emotions were raw, the reactions were real. That's right when it happened. There wasn't any time for them to ponder or calm down or, you know what I mean? It was in the moment. It was more of a real reaction. I don't think there would be anything wrong if something like that happened, like you stood outside and just, Mr. Mayor, or Miss Treasurer, or, you know, or whomever, Chief, you know, whoever, Chief of Police, Chief of Fire Department, whoever. I don't think there would be anything wrong with you approaching them with your little recorder in your hand, asking them questions. If they declined to answer, they declined to answer. But you trying to capture in that moment. Now, I'm not so much for the hijacking, but I also think that it has its spots, too, because you know what? There are times that these officials need pressured and need to be put on the spot and see how they handle themselves in the moment.
Here's what I will say. I don't know of any council member, if I ask them after a meeting, that I would think would say no, honestly. I can't think of one that would say no. Because I talk to them all, off and on, during the meetings. I think if I said, hey, can I get a minute with you, they would say yes. I can't think of a council. And I would say that the treasurer would do that as well. I mean, she's been on this show. She came on this show right after she was appointed treasurer. I don't know why she wouldn't. But the mayor has just been a different case. And, you know, that's what it is. And I don't think he's going to... I think if I asked him, I think he would say no. Well, I have asked him, and he said no. So, is it good for me to get that on video and then post it rather than me just telling you that he said no? See, because I think that's where the sensationalism is.
Okay, the internet has drastically changed the way we consume information. So people prefer, and I can tell you just from my own experience with Facebook, people prefer videos and reels, and Facebook prefers their content creators to make videos and reels and not things that people have to read. Because a reel is 90 seconds long, and you're more likely, if you get through the first how many ever seconds and it appeals to you, I mean, Facebook has got this all figured out, and it appeals to you, you're more likely to just scroll reel after reel, and they'll keep feeding you stuff that you like, and they'll keep you engaged longer, and they'll make more money off of you.
Right, well, that's so it. This is it.
If you have to read it, or if you have to, unless, you know, you're a special, I don't want to say special, unless you're the type of person that likes podcasts or talk radio, then you're not going, or likes reading, you know, I mean, those are, sadly, people like the quick entertainment, they like the 90-second story, they want to hear it right now.
Right, but that's just it, and I'm not saying people are wrong for doing it, I'm not making a judgment on it.
It's just different than it has been in the past. You had to sit down with the newspaper and read it, or you had to watch the news, you had to watch 60 Minutes.
Right, but I mean, I just want to be clear with people. I'm not saying any of this should be banned. What I'm saying is...
No, I don't think you think that.
No, but what...
You don't prefer that style of journalism.
Well, no, what I'm saying is we have to be very clear that this is... I'm not sure that this is journalism. I think it's what you just described it. I think it's to get it's to get views, it's to get likes, it's so you can monetize what you're doing on social media. That's what it's for, because you know that people aren't going to stop and read something. People aren't going to do that in a reel.
But they might stop, they might go to your page, like that 90-second reel might catch their attention, and they might go to your page, and then they might be interested in reading something else that you posted.
Right, but why doesn't this happen? Why don't they do this with women a lot?
I'm sorry, but...
Like, I don't see a lot of women being ambushed.
Now, that was a good point when you said that. I was like, he does have a point there. Because that would then, I do agree with you, it would be seen as aggressive and chauvinistic. But I also don't see a whole lot of women ambushing either.
I mean, if they are involved in some kind of scheme, which I'm sure some of them... I mean, I can think of some off the top of my head who've been involved in things. Why aren't they ambushed by these men who are doing, mostly men, doing these ambush things? And by the way, of the political bloggers or whatever they're called, how many of them are women? Not a whole lot. Who are doing the ambush thing?
I can't really think of any... No, I really can't think of any. Well, not locally, but I'll be honest with you, I don't follow a lot of like the ambush type journalists. Now, I do follow the Rooster because some of his stuff at times has been relevant, and he's done a lot of good work on the Ohio State case, the Ohio State stuff. He's got a lot of good information out there about that.
Well, that's good.
But I don't agree with this. I don't agree with sending text messages to senators or representatives or whatever the guy is, but we also don't know the whole story.
No, but all I'm saying, whatever happens with this, and we don't know the whole story, and all of this is alleged, is I believe what happened, and this is just my belief, not an accusation, is I have only seen a couple of things he's done, but as you said, he used to be much more tame. Well, when he was much more tame,
funny. He did a lot of parody stuff, he did a lot of humor stuff, a lot of... feel-good stories, did a lot of different things, and he's become very political as of late.
But that didn't get the follow. You know, that didn't get the followers. Obviously, in those days, he didn't have a lot of followers. But now, he does. And now, people care about stories like this, and he has inserted himself in these stories. Now, my understanding, I thought the reason he called himself the Rooster was because he wanted to be anonymous. And I think in those days... you didn't even know who it was. But now, he's in all the videos. You know, and I think that's...
I think that the, regardless of what some of our local, quote-unquote affiliates think, I think the pen name gets old with people. That's another thing I think that has changed with society, is that We want to see who's telling us these things. We need to put a name with a face. This isn't the 1800s, and we're not going to go, because we don't read, we want to be entertained, we want to see and watch, we want a face and a name to associate with this information. But, you know, whether we take the time to check this person out, whether we...
No, we don't check the people out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Regardless,
people have started doing that locally. I think people are...
If we put a face with a name, then, you know, we're okay with that.
But I think people are... we all know the reason that people use these pen names, and I bet in the beginning, it may not be the case now, because I'm sure that this rooster is monetizing pretty well, but in the beginning, when he wasn't, I'm sure he had a job. Maybe he still has a job, I don't know. But... You know, if you do some of the things you do, your employer might have a problem with that.
Oh, yeah. And one thing I'll never, ever understand is why people have their employer front and center on social media. There's their name, and then there's where they work, and then there's all their kids' names. It's people, come on. And then they'll go on there, and they'll say the most horrendous things, and they'll do it during business hours. And then you just feel obligated to let their employer know that that's what their employee is doing with their company time.
Well, and also I would like to point out, this story today, okay, this story is about DJ Burns, and this story is about what he sent and him being in jail for 23 hours. Okay, Senator Jerry Serino, it doesn't even say why he was being targeted here. It doesn't say why... Well, I mean, what's
the... Exactly. See, I mean, were they having a text exchange? Were they arguing? You know, I mean, did he just randomly drop a picture of Shrek's stuff in the guy's phone and then say, I'm going to come throw rocks at your house? I mean...
I consider NBC4 to be a reliable news source, so I think if there was something going on of note with Senator Serino, I think that they would report it in this story.
Oh, yes. I don't, but I mean, they're not going to have the text messages because that's going to be considered evidence in a criminal investigation.
No, but so what I'm saying is,
we wouldn't be able to get that or the context. We won't know until it comes out in court.
Right, but I guess my point is in the world of this story, what point could sending an explicit picture of Shrek to this senator?
How explicit can a picture of a cartoon character be?
I don't know.
Crude, yes, but I mean, like, you have to have...
But I mean, what's the point in the...
There's no point, but we don't know. We don't know if they were, you know, were they having a text exchange, and then the guy just drops the picture of Shrek's stuff. It's not like he sent a picture of his own stuff. I'm not saying he should have done it. I'm just saying we don't know, like, were they arguing in a text exchange? Were they... Did he say, don't ever text me again, and then all of a sudden a picture of cartoon Shrek stuff shows up? You know, I mean, there's more to than, because it doesn't make sense that he would have just randomly texted him that, does it?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think when you are doing work like this, you have to keep upping your game, because if you
there's
don't...
There's more to the story. How's that?
Yeah, there's probably more to the story.
Because he had a representative... telephone number. I doubt those are public.
Well, you could probably get the email.
Well, he sent it to his actual phone.
Oh, okay.
In a text message.
Okay. Well, I guess...
So, I'm not like saying you should send pictures of cartoon characters stuff to...
Well, we don't even know if that's what it is. That's what's been reported. I mean, I don't know if that's the truth or not.
I think if it had been anything more than that, then they probably would have been charging him with some kind of, like, felony for pornography or something like that.
Right, but I guess my point is, you mentioned Colleen Marshall and the Jim Jordan dust-up earlier on. Now, if I'm reading a story this morning that Colleen Marshall sent a picture of Shrek's private parts to a state senator and two threatening messages...
Not
now,
good!
No, we should praise her, right? We should say, wow, that's a great way to get...
I didn't say this was good. Have I once said this was good?
No, but I'm just saying, apparently that's the way to do it.
I think we need a little more context before we understand the full picture of everything.
I'm just saying.
Said, what were the threatening messages? Like, here's Shrek stuff and he's coming to get you. I mean, what? You know, I'm going to come throw rocks at your house. I think your dog is ugly. I mean, what was the threatening messages?
But I mean, isn't this the interesting thing? To even say a respected journalist doing something like that, you would laugh. You would say, that's ridiculous.
Okay, but I could also see where a state representative would overplay their benefit or their privilege and get this man arrested for something that maybe he shouldn't have been arrested for. So I can see both sides of this, and I think it really needs to play out. But no, I mean, if he just randomly sent a picture of Shrek stuff, no, he should not be doing that. But I would really like to know the context of if there was a conversation or, you know, there's some history between these two of not getting along or accosting him in the past or any of those things. I think those are kind of relevant for the whole story.
Well, yes, and I think the whole story will come out. And if there's an exoneration here, okay. But all I'm saying is...
Can you see, like, where, you know, like, I don't know, let's pretend that the auditor, since she and I don't have any beef, she and I are texting each other for some reason, okay, I have her phone number, and she has mine, and we're texting each other for some reason, and let's just say it's me asking her questions, and she's like, stop asking me questions, I'm not answering, and then all of a sudden, I send her a picture of Shrek stuff, weird, okay? But let's say we have a cordial conversation, and then I tell her I'm going to come throw rocks at her house. Okay, the police probably need to come talk to me. But let's say we've sort of had back and forth exchanges, and she has said, okay, here's the answer to that question through a text message. And then I send her a picture of Shrek stuff and tell her I'm going to throw rocks at her house. Or, you know, we're in the middle of a text exchange, and I don't know, before we got along and now I'm mad at her because she passed some ordinance and I drop her Shrek stuff. You know what I mean? Like, none of it's good, but there's got to be some more explanation than he just randomly sent this.
Well, all I'm saying is here, the problem lies...
What a conversation.
Well, if, yes, and that's how, that it, and this is a blogger. This is a story that was printed on the Dispatch. I mean,
you know,
here we are.
It won't hurt his credibility amongst most folks, though.
Won't hurt his credibility amongst the people who already follow him.
Right.
Amongst the Republican crowd, probably not a big fan. But here's the thing. That's the problem, is that we know who your enemies are, we know who you don't like, and we know who you're not going to give a fair shake to. And that is a problem, because that is how the news is getting so screwed up and people are getting so misinformed, is because of things like this, because you're not telling the whole story.
People like Scott Pelley getting fired, you know, and you're talking about news getting screwed up and you can't get it from reliable sources. He said this morning that CBS, the new leaders at CBS, have wanted to interject politics into 60 Minutes for quite some time, or slant,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I think Dan Rather found that out.
And that he's been fighting them, and that's why he lost his job.
Well, right, but that's what a journalist does. I don't think Scott Pelley sent threatening messages to the head of CBS News.
No, he flat out had a verbal altercation with him,
it sounds
like.
And I'm sure it was about the content of the news. So,
yes,
that you're allowed to do.
Falsehoods and bias.
Right, and you're allowed to do that. But what you can't do is threaten somebody. You can't harass somebody. And that's the difference. And I think this is where this is all deteriorating. And,
I don't like the fact that the guy did it on the phone, over the phone. So we still need to know more about that. And I want to know what constitutes as threats, again, because I can see Ralph Smith accused me of felony intimidation of a public official last year for raising my voice in a city council meeting. So these people can overplay their hands against their political foes if they want to. So I'm not saying that's what happened.
Let me just say, here's the main problem. The main problem is that when you do, and many people have mimicked this, because now we don't just have the rooster, we have all these other animals out there now doing whatever they're doing. And, you know, you do it under an assumed name. You do it because why? You want to stay anonymous? You don't want your opinion to be out there? And a lot of times, if you ask these people who they are very evasive. They will not tell you who they are. They don't want to tell you who they are. So, you know, that's number one. But they want to tell you their opinion on everything. So you've
and
got...
And they're experts.
Okay,
trust me. But I won't tell you who I am.
Right. So here it is. So you get that. And people like that. But the problem was, it does drive a little bit of an egomania. Because then you go and you say, well, look how many people are looking at me. Look how many people have read that story. Look, you know, I never, when I post a news story, I post it to the WGH page. I don't sign it. I don't put my name in it. I don't put any opinion in it. And there it is. Read it. And that's how it should be done. And maybe that comes from working for organizations that if you would have done stuff like this, you would have been fired.
Well, and, you know, there's some, and I don't consider myself a journalist, but I do consider myself, I guess, I don't know, community organizer, activist, something like that. But I post stuff on Facebook, and I post information for people that don't have social media. But and I post stuff that's very much my opinion, very much my opinion. But I do it all under my own name, and I'm a real person, and I am obviously not afraid to state these opinions publicly. And you know, there's a picture of me, and people recognize me in public. You know, so no, I'm not. I consider myself just a citizen, whereas these people are considering themselves some of the local people that won't put their names to it, journalists, you know, and I'm not saying, trust me, I'm showing you the documents and letting you draw your own conclusions.
Well, here's the...
in swear words here and there, but they want to be taken as experts.
Well, as I have said for the longest time, I think more people reporting things is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. But what I do think is bad and harmful is when you're intentionally misrepresenting people,
yes,
when you're intentionally, yes, misleading people,
yes,
and when you are doing it with a political bias. Because nobody can do right in your eyes in the political party that you don't like. And I don't think that is a good road to go down. And I don't know why.
But if people didn't consume it, and if there wasn't an audience for it, then they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, there is an audience for it, because...
That's the thing, where as audience, though, and as consumers of information, we need to get outside of our echo chambers and read and listen and watch and do things that don't necessarily... That are in contrast to what we believe. I do it just so I know what the other side is thinking. And I don't even know if that I really have a side, but I kind of like knowing what everybody's perspectives are so I can draw my own conclusions.
Well, something that I think is very interesting is that, you know, cable news is certainly not what it used to be, but if you look at the ratings, clearly MSNBC leans more to the left. Fox News certainly leans more to the right, and CNN, of the three, is the most right down the middle. Now, the one with the lowest ratings is CNN. And also, if there's ever a tragedy, somebody's shot, there's a hurricane, anytime there's a tragedy, CNN's ratings go through the roof. Now, why is that? I've always been fascinated by that. Well, it's very easy to figure out why that is. Because people would rather listen to...
Just the facts, ma'am.
Well, yeah, in a story like that. When there's no political bias, like somebody is shot or there's a flood, you want the facts. You want the absolute facts. So you turn to the organization that you know is going to give you the absolute facts. You don't want to hear the Democrats or the Republicans tell you what's going on. You want the unbiased journalist to tell you what's going on.
Now, you know that everybody that watches Fox News believes that CNN is fake news.
Well, that's okay. But you notice they also turn over there when there's a flood. They don't stay on Fox News and watch the flood coverage. Because Fox News probably isn't even going to do the flood coverage because they can't break away.
They will to talk about FEMA fraud and how people are going to game the system and people might get food stamps that they're not entitled to. And
right, but
that sort of thing.
But see, that's the problem is that, you know, listen, conservative radio found this out years ago that if you put Rush Limbaugh on, no matter how wrong he is, people will listen to it because people want to hear their own opinion justified. And that's the same thing for Democrats and MSNBC.
When we were talking about the internet earlier and I said how it had changed people, how they want to watch and they want to be entertained, Rush Limbaugh was also coming to mind because he changed the way news was. He just changed the way news was given to people, the way people digested news. And, you know, so he changed the scape of news, I guess, if that's what we want to call it, the landscape of news or whatever, because he pushed the opinion side over radio before it became popular on television, and I think that's what paved the way for such opinionated television programs.
Well, I think Rupert Murdoch saw what was going on radio and said, ooh, let's do this on television.
Yes, he did. And then MSNBC responded.
Right. But here's the thing. That's okay. I mean, you can do that. There's nothing wrong with it. But the problem is people have to understand that's what this is. And you know, you have to be able to make those differences. You have to be able to make those differentiations. And I think what's also very interesting is the one thing, and I haven't seen this so much done with MSNBC, but if it has, I don't really watch it, but if it has, let me know. But the conservative media is very big on attacking media in general, as you just said. You know,
yes.
CNN is fake news.
Fake news.
Okay. Well, why do you do that?
Left-wing fake news.
Right. Well, you know why you do that? You do that because, see, you've got to discredit people who actually are reporting the news because people might get suspicious that you do have a bias if they actually believe what the other people are saying, which is actually the truth. So you've always got to discredit the other media because if you don't, then what happens?
The way that those, like MSNBC and Fox, the way that they spar with one another tells you how biased they are. you know what I mean? Like the way they go, their hosts go after each other, that tells you how biased they are on their side. I consider myself down the middle, and MSNBC is a left-wing news organization, and Fox is a right-wing news organization, and I do believe CNN to be most down the middle. I'm sure that makes me a dirty liberal in somebody's eyes, but you don't really hear MSNBC come after CNN.
That's what I'm saying. The liberal media, because I don't think that the liberal media really has any beef with the legitimate media, because I think they think they're still going to come out looking okay. I think it's the conservative media, which right now is the Donald Trump crowd, who feels that any report, no matter how true it is, on President Trump makes them look bad. So they have to discredit that. And also, they don't want the conservative...
Have you ever watched them discredit their own polls? Because I've watched them do that before. And that is interesting. Because there will be polls... they would do some on the economy, and there was... One, I can't remember, was one of these elections where somebody won that no one was expecting to win and something like that. But I don't know, they had done a poll and Trump was not looking so good in it, or his candidate wasn't looking so good in it, or his approval rating, and they're like, well, that must have been skewed or wrong, or that can't be right, or they must have called a bunch of Democrats. I mean, it was insane that... Even their own polling information.
Well, here's the thing.
On the air.
Well, here's the thing I want to get in before we wrap up this program.
Well,
here's the thing. what you just said. Okay, I mean, we have a lot of local sources in Marion that I consider more tabloid than media. Now, during our last local election here, a lot of things were said in the last years about a lot of people, and a lot of polls were taken that were absolutely not true. How much of that has been retracted by them since the outcomes?
None, I don't think.
Well, why not? Because, I mean, if I was doing that sort of thing, that's one of the reasons we don't do online polls here. That's one of the reasons we don't endorse candidates. That's one of the reasons we allow anybody to come on who wants to come on, because we don't want to have to come back and say, oh, we misled you. Well,
with all the fake profiles online, how could you get a real poll anyway?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, people have 3 and 4 Facebook profiles, because I'll tell people, oh, I don't know, I'm blocked from that page. They're like, well, get on your other profile. I'm like, I don't have another one.
Right, but how were people so wrong?
Echo chambers?
Well, yeah, but I mean, shouldn't you come out and say that? Couldn't you say, well, I guess our polling data was not right there, and I guess our endorsement was not what the people wanted. And I guess, you know, a lot of things
were
wrong.
What about the silent sabotage, though, Spears? What about that?
Well, I don't know about that. Is that still a thing?
I don't know. It's amazing how it died down, isn't it?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, where is all this stuff? Where is all the, you know, I was not exactly right with this information?
I don't know, because if I'm wrong, I'll say that I'm wrong. But, you know, that's a harder pill to swallow for some folks, I suppose.
I guess. Well, thanks for calling.
Take care, sir.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we've got about a minute left here. If somebody wants to call in real quick, 740-383-9944. Well, it's an interesting topic in regard to the media, and I think that's an interesting discussion to have with the Roosters' ties to Marion here and what's going on there. God knows, we got to get a local story in from time to time. And Donut Day is Friday, and I'll be back tomorrow morning, and who knows what we'll be discussing tomorrow morning. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it, how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?